During the season of Advent, the church recognizes the ways that Christ, our heavenly King, comes to us. He came first as a lowly child at Bethlehem. He comes to us through his word and sacrament today and promises to come and return in glory. And we hear our reading today from John chapter 18, part of our Lord's Passion regarding his kingship. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. So you're a king? You got to be kidding me. I can almost read the thoughts in Pilate's mind in this conversation with Jesus. Think of the interesting contrast here in our text. Here you have Pilate representing the greatest empire of the day, if you will, the most powerful man in the world, representing the Roman Empire, had been put in power by Tiberius Caesar himself, probably around the time Jesus started his public ministry. Pilate, who got to live in wonderful palatial palaces and lived in the palace out on Caesarea on the Mediterranean, was in town here in Jerusalem at the time to release a prisoner to the Jews during the high festival of Passover. Pilate, who is known through Roman records to have gone and taken long vacations down on the Nile River, lived in all of this opulence. He knew what kings lived like. He knew what royalty looked like. And he represented the Roman army, most powerful army of its day. He represented a kingship and an empire that was ruled with swords and clubs and spears and soldiers and catapults and large garrisons of soldiers, occupying forces, threats, intimidation, bloodshed, killing people, putting people to death brutally. Pilate himself abused his position of power so badly that even the Romans finally had enough of him and took him out of power and sent him into exile. He represented an empire, if you will, a royal empire of the world that was so big and strong and powerful that many, many, many years later, Adolf Hitler would try to mimic much of it and use a lot of the symbolism from the great Roman Empire for the Nazis coming to power. And now standing in front of this Pilate is this little man, son of a carpenter from Nazareth of all places, dinky little town up north. Despised town. And here stands this scrawny man in front of him, doesn't have any property, doesn't have any weapons on him, his hands are probably tied. Here stands this man in front of him that's probably totally tired from the night. And Pilate is just completely puzzled by this whole situation. Why is this man being brought to me? And he claims, of all things, to be a king. And if Pilate only knew who he was dealing with. I'll tell you a story of something I read a few years ago. There was a guy who worked for the Secret Service protecting the President of the United States back in, I believe, the 1980s, late 70s, during the Carter administration. And he tells the story that one night the President and his wife were out at Camp David, which is kind of a vacation retreat area for the President. And on this large ground of Camp David, full of a lot of trees and walking paths, there were various Marines guarding the perimeter. And one night, one of the privates in the Marine Corps encountered someone coming toward him in the dark on the path. And he drew his rifle and held it at the head of the person walking toward him. And he told them to stop and began giving them commands. And within a few seconds, another Marine came from behind the couple and informed this private and the Marines that he was holding his gun at the head of President Carter. And when he told that, he started to shake and almost fainted. If Pilate only knew at this moment in our text, if he only knew who he was standing in front of, just think what a surprise it's going to be to him on Judgment Day, who he's standing in front of. But this king that's in front of him is a completely different king and a completely different type of king. And he represents a completely different kingdom than Pilate would be used to. And that's why Jesus says to him, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from here." This kingdom has a completely different definition of power. It's as if Jesus is saying to him, "I come from a very strange kingdom. And where I come from, we operate on a totally different system. And the weapons that we use in my kingdom are water and bread and wine and words and sweaty preachers. My kingdom is found in people's hearts. My kingdom is found where people have been taught my word, where they've been shown their sin, where they've been led to repent of their sin, where they've been led to see that their hope of getting to heaven could have nothing to do with them, but it has everything to do with the grace of God. My kingdom is found where people have come to know that my heavenly Father, God in heaven himself, has been so full of mercy and grace that he has sent me his Son into the world to suffer and die on their behalf and to shed blood for them. In fact, Pilate," it's as if Jesus said to him, "in fact, Pilate, right now, you don't realize it, but you are a pawn in the hand of the Almighty God. And he is going to use your earthly power right now to put me on a cross and drain my blood from my veins to atone for the sins of every person in the world, including you. He says, 'For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world.'" And it's as if Jesus is saying to him, "And if you want to find out where my subjects are in this great kingdom that I have, if you want to know who the citizens are in my kingdom, I'm going to tell you where to look. Here's where you should look. Look for my people where someone is sorry for their sins, someone who holds on to me for their hope of going to heaven, somebody who loves my word, cherishes my word, defends my word despite what the world says to them. Because you see, everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate, someday you may win a minor victory over me or other people by bringing death. But you see, that's what I'm here for. I have overcome that for all of my subjects. And Pilate, someday you may put your imprimatur on a seal on my grave 3 days from now, but I will bust that seal wide open." As I close, I'd like to introduce you to one of the subjects of this king's kingdom. And this was a woman that was just interviewed a day or two ago following the horrible shooting out in California. Her children were in a school that day that had to go into lockdown. And a reporter was interviewing her after the fact. She's a Christian mother. And she was asked by this reporter, "How do you talk to your children when there's this kind of horror and tragedy and terror that is so present in the world?" And this is basically what she said. She said, "I tell them, there is really only so much I can do to protect you from this kind of evil in the world." And then she said, "So I take them to church a lot." Amen.